Good evening, everybody. I call to order the regular meeting of the Grover Beach City Council, Monday, June 22nd, 2026. This meeting may also be viewed on cable channel 20 in Grover Beach and is available on live streaming on www.slow-span.org. Members of the public may provide public comment during the meeting by attending the meeting or calling 805-321-6639. The phone line is open now. Please join me in the flag salute. City Clerk Sims with the roll call, please.
Councilmember Tuggle?
Here.
Councilmember Wyrick?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert?
Here.
Mayor D?
Here.
And let the record show Councilmember McCory Driscoll is not here.
All right, thank you very much. Closed session announcements. We did not have a closed session announced, or we did not have closed session last time, so there's no announcements. On to the agenda review. Council members, do any of you have any questions or changes you would like to make? If so, or if there's no changes, could I have a motion to adopt the agenda as presented?
I move to adopt the agenda.
I'll second it.
We have a motion, a second. Can I have a, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? We have consensus. We do not have anything on our ceremonial calendar, no presentation, so we will now move on to public communications. Our meetings are designed to proceed in an organized and efficient manner to effectively conduct city business. The council welcomes and values public comments, which can be shared at the designated time from the podium using the microphone. The council requests that all comments be addressed to the council as a whole and that speakers refrain from directing individual comments at staff members. To maintain an orderly process, we kindly ask all attendees to refrain from creating disruptions during the meeting, interrupting speakers who are addressing the council, or impeding the council's ability to conduct business. Should disruptions occur, the council may need to take certain measures, such as calling a recess, clearing the chambers, or in rare circumstances, canceling the meeting. We greatly appreciate your understanding and cooperation in maintaining a productive environment that serves our entire community effectively. During this time, the council will allow for public communication. Any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on or discuss items not on the agenda. I do have a few speaker slips. We have Kelvin Koveduck, followed by Brenda Auer. And a reminder to have no talking in the audience as our speakers are speaking or as we're discussing business as well. Thank you.
Good evening. I want to talk about the Citizens Initiative. It was a big part of the last meeting, and there were a lot of speculation about what it will do to the city of Grover Beach. So I just wanted to address a few things. Is as long as we can demonstrate to the state that we are still going to build, and you're going to make up for the decrease in heights for the commercial buildings and this little bit of industrial buildings that will ill affect, you won't be subject to fines or that dreaded builder's remedy. One thing to do is the fractional density. That is somewhat new in Grover Beach, but it can still be altered, even though it's new. So for example, when you have a 1,000-foot square project up to 601 feet, it's considered 3/4 of a unit. So you could make that one unit. And then when something is less than 600 square feet, you could, it's currently a 3/4, you can make it down to a half. So you're increasing the density, in other words. And that's what the state wants. So that is an alternative. I actually discussed this with Mr. Bronson at Ramona Park, and he goes, yeah, that's doable. I mean, you can change that. So that may be a consideration down the road, or you may not have to wait down the road. Maybe you could do it in July. So that was one thing I wanted to mention. There's apparently 62 acres of land to build in Grover Beach, so there's room to build. So that demonstrates to the state that it can be done. There's the possible ability of upzoning R1 to R2, but basically most R1 lots in Grover Beach are like R2 lots because of SB 90, where you can build your ADUs. That doesn't increase the density, but it will affect your arena numbers. So it the sky's not falling. We don't really know what our arena numbers are going to be. SLOCOG hasn't assigned that yet. It could be 700. It could be 350. So whatever it is, I know that everybody will rise to the occasion. And Grover Beach will march on, and our views from the public streets will be more protected. And this is all a scenario that if the initiative passes on November 3rd, we got a lot of signatures, there's a lot of interest in it, and I think it will pass. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Brenda Auer, followed by Dee Santos.
Good evening, everyone. What a beautiful day. Brenda Auer, Auer Real Estate. Hey, Dion, happy birthday to you. This is your birthday song. This is your birthday song. It isn't very long. Hey. I wish I had a choir, but I don't. I want to address presentations that we've been given recently. They're all doom and gloom. The sky is falling, not to be redundant. But I would ask that when you give presentations, such as this water study, the one that we went to last week, or any presentation here, I mentioned before that I'm insulted when I'm hearing facts and statistics that are not true. So I ask, if you're going to give false presentations or skewed presentations, shall we say, allow the public to come up and set the record straight. We're not going to have a problem with losing any of our privileges if we adopt the people's initiative. So that is not true, in my opinion, and I would ask that you stop proponing that to everyone and the sky's falling, run. On that note, the same thing with the water. We learned that if we would have taken this brand new park and put in water drainage under all that new grass, we could have retained water. We never looked for solutions. Why? Just curious. As far as the building and relocating and upzoning, I know 4 acres that are actually touching each other, that are R1, you can make R2. Solve every problem. All the state wants is a plan. That's all they want. We're not going to lose anything. I tried to talk to you about that, Cassie, and you canceled my appointment and didn't reach back out to me. I'm kind of disappointed because I have some ideas I want to share with you. Go to the state, present our plight. Grover Beach is a little small area. I know that our city manager is trying to build his rep off of this giant park and these giant buildings, but we're different. The people have spoken. They've done an initiative, not the first one. And they had to do it because this council and the previous council didn't listen to the people. So I pray that you open your hearts and start listening to the people and their desires so they don't have to go to the street, do petitions, sue. You know, we waste a lot of money on lawsuits. So there's a lot to be discussed here. Thanks. Have a good evening.
Dee Santos.
It's nice to be in a familiar place. I will begin with...
Do you mind grabbing the mic really quick, Dee? Thank you so much. Ms. Santos, excuse me.
To my niece? No.
Yes.
I received a notification from the code enforcement officer. Couldn't find the water meter. It seems strange to me that that meter has been there since I bought the property in 1971. No, here's the deed for that property. It's funny because we've never had problems with that. And the gentleman who was reading the meter, I don't know if you have a new person or whatever, he would get off, he'd open the gate, go read the meter. But it seems like somehow, some way, they've lost touch. Yet PG&E, the gas company, cable, and the landscapers can go through the yard. Yes, there's a sign there, beware of dog, but the dog is behind the house. all that time. Another thing is, look at your bill. Look at your bill. Is there anywhere on there that has an emergency number in case something should happen? There is not. We've never had a problem in the years. Concerns, and that's been over, let's see. Oh, I drove around Grover because a former city manager, when I was in your seat, he said, go down a different street when you go home every day because you see, you feel, you learn. And that is so true. If you've ever gone down the industrial area, it's not just the little area now that you have to represent. It's the city itself. You'll find that a lot of in the industrial area, the streets are unpaved. There's tall grass, everything. I'd advise you to take a trip around Grover. And with this code enforcement thing, I did. I went up in the north side of Grover, and I looked at a lot of houses similar to this rental I have. And they have fences and so forth, but they have no problem. Somehow they get in there. Another thing is there's so many cars parked on the street, and yet we pay for a street sweeper. How can that street sweeper sweep the streets? That's hard to say, but but anyway, you need to do like they do in the bigger cities. Give notice, and on a certain day when the street sweeper comes, everybody has to get off on one side or the other. That's another expense that we're doing to keep things clean. Do all the homes have trash service? I don't know. Because we have a lot of people who are moving in their motor homes and having people living in them and their trailers, which I don't have a problem with.
Thank you, Ms. Santos.
Gee, I had a whole list. I'll come back.
Of course, thank you. I do not have any other speaker slips. Does anybody else wish to come up and speak? Go ahead.
This is my first time doing this. My name is Ethan Hawkins. I live on Front Streets. And I wanted to bring up a concern I had with noticing the flock cameras that are set up down Grand Avenue. I'm sure most of you have, whenever you drive down, you see cameras on every single streetlight, every single corner. And a lot of them are just for simple traffic measures. But flock in particular is a great concern of mine, and that has been spreading across the nation. Equal concerns with privacy, surveillance technology, and government oversight. I actually did receive a message here from the chief of police regarding these flock cameras. He said there were only three that were set up here on Grand Avenue, but the article that he sent me did say that there are 17 fixed locations within the city of Grover Beach with ALPR cameras, which are these license plate reading technology cameras. Unfortunately, these types of ALPR technologies are usually provided by flock. They just don't outwardly say that. The greatest concern I have with this is the people behind it and simply just the levels of overreach that this technology gives. A lot of it is labeled as just, it's simple license plate reading technology. It's going to help. There's no facial recognition software. Unfortunately, that is untrue. What is listed within this technology that has come through multiple lawsuits and multiple locations that have since banned this technology is that location is prevalent within the cameras. And I would love to bring up the fact that if Silicon Valley, the creators of this technology, proposed this to implement on other people in their cities, why have their cities banned the use of flock safety technology in their own jurisdiction? I have a list, actually, of multiple different counties that have banned this, multiple cities that realize that the overreach. It would be one thing if this was just surveillance technology that police could use to track criminals and other, traffic violations. It's another thing when it's a private entity that has access to this footage and can use that for whatever purposes. There have been numerous lawsuits that have already occurred because certain cities realized that their footage was being accessed by the ATF, by the U.S. Air Force, by the Inspector General's office. Even national recreation areas were getting access to these people's camera footage. I just wanted to bring this to light and urge the city council to cancel their contract with these people. Flock received its seed funding investment from Peter Thiel, who is a known, you know, billionaire who has ties with Jeffrey Epstein to the point where he had his own dietary restrictions sent to Epstein's island staff for his visits. This is not a man that should be handling our surveillance technology and our software and our security. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Does anybody else wish to come up and speak for general public comment? Yeah.
Mayor, council members, I'm Stephen Edwards. I live just down the street on Brighton from Ramona Park. I just wanted to say, well done. You guys did a great job over there. And from my house, I hear the kids laughing and having fun, and it's delightful. So thanks for what you're doing.
Thank you for your comments. Thank you. Does anybody else wish to come up and speak on items not in the agenda? Seeing nobody come forward, is there anybody on the line?
Yes, we have Charles Varney.
Hi, this is Charles Varney. On June 16th, I attended the second community workshop of the Grover Beach Water Supply Study, which is focused on supplemental water supply alternatives. And the presentation was informative and well done, and I heard that the city needs an additional 300 to 400 acre feet of water in the coming decades. So imagine my surprise when the experts said, as far as water conservation goes, that the turnip has been squeezed dry. There was no mention of the Coastal Commission's 2017 mandate to the sanitation district to begin planning for a probable relocation of their operation to a brand new facility safe from floods and sea level rise by 2047. That facility would be required to treat all municipal wastewater to drinking water standards. At current wastewater levels, that would create 2,200 acre feet of new water every year, and 400 of that would be for Grover Beach at the minimum. So why does this project not have top billing in a study of supplemental water alternatives, especially when the fact is that the Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach mayors and the Oceano CSD president are the board of directors of the sanitation district? All three of them are very well informed on the sanitation district's relocation issues and have been voting approval for hundreds of thousands of dollars in studies required by the Coastal Commission. Almost all of the operations, the maintenance, the administration of the sanitation district is paid for by AG, GB, and Oceano citizens and businesses. So imagine my surprise at that meeting where neither the consultants nor the city administrators ever mentioned a possibility of 2,200 acre feet of new water, nor did they seem very knowledgeable about the project in terms of the consultants. The lead consultant on supplemental water sources told me he knew nothing about the sanitation district relocation. The lead study consultant seemed to be way more interested in desalination and did not express knowledge of the sanitation district relocation topic and all of the potential new water that comes from it. So over the past few years, the sanitation district has spent a large amount of money completing Coastal Commission mandated studies on plant life expectancy, potential operational hazards, et cetera. I believe serious consideration should be given to embracing the Coastal Commission's concerns about relocation, because it's not if, it's just a simple matter of when is that going to have to happen. And we should begin to actively move forward.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Varney.
The need timely.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Is there anybody else on the line? Okay, well then I will close general public comment and we will go on to the consent agenda. We have a very large consent agenda. So the following routine items listed on the consent portion of the agenda are scheduled for a consideration as a group. We have the treasurer's reports for the period of May 1st through May 31st, 2026. Treasurer's reports for the 2025 sewer bond account. Minutes of the city council meeting on Monday, June 8th, 2026, the update of the fiscal year 26 to 27 council goals, adoption of the fiscal year 26 to 27 budget and 26 to 31 capital improvement program, update of approved list of qualified consultants for construction management, approved list of qualified consultants for engineering design, creation of the ad hoc council committee on building heights and commercial space and citizens initiative and next steps with the citizens, amended and restated resolution placing the ballot on of the initiative on the ballot, and the resolution requesting the Board of Supervisors consolidate City of Grover Beach ballot initiative elections. So I will now open for public comment on the consent agenda, so all of those items I listed. So I have one speaker slip, Brenda Auer.
Wow, why so many items on the consent agenda? Somebody explain to me. And I agree with the previous caller, the meetings are skewed. I was saying that earlier. I've been asking this council to try and find a way to save $50,000 a year. Nobody got back to me. I know how to save $100,000 a year off our budget. But maybe you could try $25,000 if $50,000 was too much. Let's talk about, first of all, the ad hoc. I think a citizen should actually, that's not on the board, should be part of that ad hoc. Please consider that. Let's talk about it, okay? Weed abatement, $18,075 for 16 properties. Folks, we are overpaying. We're overpaying. So take a look at that if you do nothing else. I know people that will do it for far less. I'm not sure why we spend so much on peak Wi-Fi, $7,300 a month. Maybe somebody could answer that question for me. And it looks like we just spent $25,562 on new helmets for the police. How many policemen do we have? How much is that a helmet? I am confused. But that's a lot of money on helmets, don't you think? We gave the attorneys $26,000 twice in the month of May, totaling $52,586. $52,586 in 1 month. Maybe we should talk about talking to the people and not spending money on attorneys and potential lawsuits. Think about it. That's a lot of money to drop on attorneys. And that's just a drop in the bucket, I'm sure. I don't know who the Democratic Club is. There was a bill that looked like it was a refund for $74. Did they rent a hall? I'd like to know. And that's just kind of about it. In the next budget, or since the budget is on here, could we maybe set aside some money to fix the actual road that represents us from Oak Park into Grover Beach? You know, I drive a big truck. I've had to replace shocks many times over the years on it. But it's really sad that you drive down the street and you have to avoid the really bad spots. I lived for 17 years on a dirt road, 2.5 mile dirt road. When it rained, I'd say the rocks grew. When it rains here, the roads go away. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. I do not have any other speaker slips. Does anybody wish to come up and speak on the consent agenda? Seeing nobody come forward, is there anybody on the line?
Yes, we have Pam Storton.
Hi, it's Pamela Storton.
Hello.
Hi, it's Pam Storton. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. I'm calling in to speak on item 8 and 9 of the consent agenda. I have a couple of questions and a couple of comments. On 8, you know, we last meeting you talked about unintended consequences of an initiative. But of this initiative, but it seems that there are many very intended consequences happening within the community that's out of the control of the constituents, the voters, and the citizens. I'm curious on the ad hoc committee, why it's now. It just seems like too little, too late. This ad hoc committee could have been done a year and a half ago before the initiative when the public was crying out for help and asking for the mayor to meet with us privately or to just the citizens. And now there's an ad hoc committee with the mayor and a council member, but it seems like a little too late. What is the intent? What will you talk about? Will citizens be involved? And what can you accomplish now that the initiative is already written in order and going to the ballot and signed by many, many people in the community? That's number one. Number two is on nine, adopt an amended and restated resolution. What is that amended and restated resolution? Isn't it summed up with what was written? And if there's something else, I guess you'll probably talk about it and let us know. I feel that there's not just, I am pro redevelopment. We should be redeveloping and we should be building up our communities and making them economically feasible and livable. But I do believe there's some forced enforcement in order to re-gentrify this town of Grover Beach, which is historical, culturally significant, and very important to the people in the community. And it seems that there's a push to re-gentrify this beach town that we all love. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anybody else on the line? Okay, I will now close for comments on the consent agenda and bring it back to the council. I do have a question really quick. For item number nine, the last speaker, can you quickly explain what's being amended? My understanding is that it's just a date change.
That's correct, Mayor and Council. What's being included in this resolution is just to change the date to mirror with the county's deadlines with the election cycle. The last resolution had the minimum requirements for a number of days for ballot arguments. This amendment is just being reflective of the county's deadlines to provide more time for all voices to be part of the process for July 17th.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. And then as far as the ad hoc, yes, just really quickly, the ad hoc committee, we have citizens. Are you wanting to? Yeah, okay, sounds good. All right, you know what? I'll leave it for that then. Okay, sounds good. So, council members, do you have any questions or would like to pull any items?
Yeah, I'd like to pull items 4 and 8.
4 and 8. Thank you very much. Do we have any further questions on the rest of the items before we?
I do. Follow-up question for council, not council member, city manager Bronson. In regards to saving money and the fees that we pay those that do weed abatement and contracting services, can you explain to me what restrictions are on cities for hiring and what guidelines we have to follow? I know that there's some. I'm just not certain what they are exactly.
Yes, typically for contract services, we do an RFP process or at least get different bids and quotes. There are certain restrictions that we have to follow in having contractors do work for a public agency that a private citizen wouldn't be able to do themselves. So that process is done periodically to make sure we get the best price and best value for the work.
And are there requirements on what we pay people that work for the city?
There are, but I don't have those offhand.
We can right, but there's like too. There's lower level cutoffs. Like we can't.
There are prevailing wages.
I could get prevailing wages. Yes. That's the word I was looking for. All right, I could get a better deal possibly for myself than the city could get, based on those rules.
Typically, yes.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, so can I have a motion to, I'll just do it. I'll move to approve the consent agenda items, all the items without item 4 and item 8.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. May I have a roll call, please?
Mayor D.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert.
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Tuggle.
Yes.
Councilmember Weirich.
Yes.
Let the record show, Councilmember McCrory Driscoll is absent.
All right. Thank you. That passes. We will go on to item number 4, the update of the fiscal year 26 to 27 council goals and priorities. Councilmember Weirich.
Yeah. One thing that there's been different changes that's kind of created a discrepancy between the budget CIP and then the street, and then under the council priority, the street improvements and maintenance part. And just to clean it all up too, I might as well bring up stuff to fix it, but also make it even more clear. So under the key milestones for fiscal year 2026 through 2027, when you look in our last meeting agenda packet on the budget side, it has two bullet points. First one, develop funding plan to fund street repair project CIP 2295-22, anticipated for construction 2030. Then the second one was present plan to council in early 2027 for review and direction with initial update in fall of 2026. So if you look in your packet, it's different language and it's pretty adjusted. So I think if we, and the main part was actually the second bullet point had the last part missing a bit, but I do think it's probably better to actually change the last part of that as far as the and direction with initial update in fall of 2026, because I don't think it actually gets to when I originally brought it up, the real meat of what that's about, because an update could be many things. And I was looking more towards actually having a preliminary draft that utilizes existing financial revenue sources, because I know that, for instance, the slow cog measure is going on the November ballot, so that's a possibility. But if that doesn't happen, as far as the industrial area streets and stuff that have the residentials, ones that were in the RNK 14 part, do we have a plan to get those done based off of that priority? Because, I mean, essentially it's saying, can you have a preliminary draft without considering other new things, because that may or may not happen. And this preliminary draft would essentially be going into the CIP in the next year for the 2027 through 2032 cycle, which is what's been stated several times, that we're going to get done with the K-14 projects through 2030 by 2032 in the end of that year. So I think it's one of those parts where it shouldn't be too hard to have a preliminary draft. But if we don't put it in that way, then like I said, an update can mean many things. It could be we're looking into it. A preliminary draft of what that revenue looks like gives a lot more certainty for those residents, since RK14 money is going to run out before this. So that's what I'm looking to do.
So you're saying on page 7 of this item, you see that last bullet point, you're asking to do develop funding plan and present to council in early 27 with an initial update in council fall 2026. You would like to change that wording to say a preliminary.
As far as when it goes 2027 for review and direction with, then it changes to and preliminary draft utilizing existing financial resources.
Okay.
Simple as that.
Okay. Do we have any opposition to that?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that wording, Councilmember.
Sure. So it just changes that last part of it where when it goes the and direction with, then it says a preliminary draft utilizing existing financial revenue sources.
Page 7.
So if I hear the interest, it's really to look at a preliminary draft of that financial plan. The draft may or may not have resources attached to it because of the challenge of finding the funding sources. So I think we will do our due diligence identifying the opportunities, but there may still be a gap we have to identify in the fall. And that's part of the challenge of this conversation and kind of how we can identify some ways to close that gap over the next year.
And that's the point too, because like I said, because it's always been stated, in recent times that we're gonna get done with our K-14 projects by 2032. That the CIP for 2027 through 2032, which would be basically a few months later, that this be presented at, that this would give a solid sense of if we accomplish that, or if not, then we'd have to change readjust things within the CIP probably as far as sources. So it's to give certainty, but also if there are issues like that, it really flags that this is what we need to put eyes on too.
Yes, and I think we will have a preliminary sense of that this fall and mapping out some different options for the council to consider in how to close that $2.6 million gap at the end.
Were there any other comments or questions before I open up public comment?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, thank you. I will open up public comment on this item, the update of fiscal year 26 to 27 council goals and priorities. Is there anybody that wishes to come up and speak on this item? Seeing nobody come forward, is there anybody on the line? Then I will close public comment for this item and bring it back to the council for any further questions and discussions. Are we all in agreement with that direction? Okay, can I have a motion?
Yeah, I'll move to approve this item with that change.
Okay, and I will second. So may I have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Weirich?
Yes.
Mayor D?
Yes.
Councilmember Tuggle?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert?
Yes, ma'am.
Let the record show that Councilmember McCory Driscoll is absent.
All right, that moves forward. Thank you so much for that. So now item number 8, the creation of Ad Hoc Council Committee on Building Heights and Commercial Space Citizens Initiative and Next Steps with the Citizen Initiative. Councilmember Weirich.
And for me, actually, part of this is quite simple. I think that the council should be discussing who goes on the ad hoc committee. That's from the council side of this. And
sure.
Yeah, so I have some different thoughts on that too, but that's the main point.
Okay, perfect. Question, there were some comments about our residents being on in this ad hoc committee, and I believe that the proponents are residents, so they will be in this meeting. Citizens will be in this meeting.
Yes, and let me just kind of provide some background. So essentially, this item formalizes your direction as a council set at the last meeting to establish an ad hoc council committee. Ad hoc council committees can be formed for any purpose, any time. They're two-member council committees, and they can choose to meet with whomever they wish. In terms of the composition, as a starting point, we identified the mayor as a possibility for this committee, given her role. And also Councilmember Tuggle expressed an interest in being part of this committee. That said, this is your council committee, and your council has the deference to choose who you would like to have on this committee, so staff will implement whoever your council selects for this role. And I think ultimately the expressed intent is to meet with the measure proponents to discuss potential impacts and alternatives of the ordinance that's going before voters this fall.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Good. Any questions before I open up public comment?
Maybe just a correction on a statement. We did meet with the components. I remember I was in that meeting. It didn't go very far, but we did meet and we did attempt to cause some resolution, but didn't happen. So
that's correct, Mayor Pro Tem. There was an initial meeting held back in March involving Mayor D and Mayor Pro Tem Robert with a number of the different proponents and stakeholders behind this issue. And it was really a procedural meeting about timelines and process more than anything else.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions before I open up public comment? Okay. Then I will open up for public comment on this item, the ad hoc committee. Does anybody wish to come up and speak on this item?
Brenda Auer again. I want to reiterate Pam's question. What is the purpose of this ad hoc? It is sad that you're talking March. Well, this happened over a year ago that the people started saying, coming here. Some of the same people that are here tonight came here and said, listen to us. And they weren't listened to. So you're kind of wasting your own time with the ad hoc. There are no other solutions. The petition's done. The people have spoken. Now it's about the vote. And the people don't want to be neglected anymore. And maybe this is a reason that they will vote this through, to hear their voices be heard. So on that note, what is the real purpose for this ad hoc? You can't change what's already been decided by the people. It's going to vote. And it's going to be a real issue. And not just the building heights, but the fact that the council has forced the people to go and walk the streets and get petitions signed to put something on the ballot because the council won't listen. And I don't want to be redundant. I don't want to come to these meetings. I want to stay home. I want to know that my council is taking care of my neighborhood. But I have to come and ask questions because the council hasn't been asking the right questions, and the council hasn't been listening to the people. So again, not to be redundant, happy birthday, Dion.
Does anybody else wish to speak on this item? Go ahead.
Well, better late than never. I'm in favor of it. And as far as who is on it, I would say that it could go beyond the proponents. I know, or if a proponent isn't interested in joining the ad hoc committee, then maybe an alternate could be given. For example, I am not a proponent, but I could be an alternate, and I was heavily involved with the initiative, and so might add to it. So I wouldn't limit it to the proponents, for sure. So, and then there are things that can be discussed, like I mentioned the fractional density could be tweaked a little bit. So we increased the density, which would help with arena numbers. It also would help with affordability. It would make smaller units, which and usually are more affordable. So it could actually help affordable housing. There are other, you know, I know that just talking to a realtor today, she's doing her own personal research, looking for land that can be built on that maybe slip by the city and that you're not aware of that could be used. So again, that, you know, things can't be changed like the heights, the amount of commercial space. It's 33%. All that is written in stone, but there's solutions, and maybe when the minds meet, cooperative effort. I would say, you know, maybe have equal number of people on both sides. That might be a good thing. Like in the March meeting, I think it was fairly equal on what we had, and the purpose of that was just to understand the dates. It wasn't really to set change the initiative. So I felt that that meeting was successful, and maybe the ad hoc will be successful too. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Good evening, Lauren Westfall. Question on the ad hoc. Is it going to just be the two council members and the opponents or community members, or is it going to be two council members and the city manager in their ear telling them what to say, what to do, and then go against us again? You guys need to start listening. Ms. Cassie, I sent you an article that sat there and explained that the city manager or assistant city manager in San Luis kept telling his bosses that a building was not safe to live in. And they told him, pass it through. In fact, Mrs. Tuggle's husband is the one that said, it's not safe. I've been telling you guys over and over, 402 is not going to be safe. Within a matter of years, it is going to be condemned due to the fact the building's leaning, there's mold, and construction is shitty. That's a straight point. But you guys aren't listening. You guys want the money, you want the revenue, but those buildings are going to be condemned and just sitting there rotting. So I would like to know, again, on this ad hoc hearing, is it going to be just two members from the council, or is it going to be two members of the council and Mr. Bronson? Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anybody else that wishes to come up and speak on this item? Seeing nobody move forward, is there anybody on the line? Okay, I will close for public comment on this item and bring it back to the council for some discussion and to answer some questions along the way. So I guess let's start with the composition of it. So it'll be two members of the council because of Brown Act. It will be our staff, including our city manager and our city attorney as well, because they are our staff members and they're the ones who help put together the staff reports and put move everything forward. So they will be a part of it as well. It'll also, you know, I'm assuming we'd like to have the proponents there, all three of them. And yeah, but let's go back to the council. Is there anybody who has a desire to be a part of this ad hoc committee? I'm hearing Councilmember Tuggle is.
I'm happy to help if there's that need that I can fill, and I don't need to. I don't know if we want to further our conversation first before we talk about actual makeup of the.
Okay.
I'm just wondering because that may impact what people want out of it.
Okay, that's a good point. Yeah. I like that direction. Okay, sounds good. So did you have, I'll start with you with comments then.
Sure. So I wanted to circle back on the position that we're not listening. We're not in a fight against each other. So one of my goals for this ad hoc committee is that the proponents talk to the state directly and we stop being the middleman. I go to Cal City's meetings, everybody's having the same experience. The rules, you can't as a city council member knowingly pass an ordinance that you know is going to get us sued. That is not good leadership. And what we have tried to do and balance and figure pathways through is how can we rein this in a bit and stay within state law so that we don't end up with more than we wanted. And the comment was made, well, there's ones that can be R1 to R2. I've gotten feedback since the last meeting from R1s who are like, please don't build, don't change R1s to R2s. So everybody's going to have to be in a place where we give and we get and we try to work together to move forward. My understanding is there's already been a complaint filed with the HCD from a landowner. There's a conversation tomorrow happening because the builder, correct me if I'm wrong, staff, but the builder or the landowner believes that this ordinance is in violation of their property rights and have already gone to HCD to get input. This conversation is happening tomorrow. I hope there will be a conversation planned with HCD so proponents can ask them directly and we can stop being the mouthpiece of it. So like for when you say who wants to be on the ad hoc committee, that's my goal or my interest. If that's not the interest of the committee, then I'm probably not the right person. Oh. So there, it's not about not listening. It's about balancing multiple people's opinions. Because I honestly get 60-40. 60 who don't like tall buildings and 40 who love it. It's a 60-40 split every time. So I'm balancing that. And I'm balancing it against state law. It has nothing to do with not listening. It's the reason I push so hard for the joint meeting with council and with the planning commission is to start getting us all onto the same page so we'll stop fighting each other. I don't care how tall the buildings are. I'm happy for you to have what you want. I do care that we continue to progress in development and that we don't have empty lots and run down structures. I do. I do believe in private property and want to be careful not to infringe on that. I do. If it's 33 or 40, I don't care. But I want to make sure that we move forward together. I don't want to spend money that's wasted defending things that we're not going to win. And I would like this animosity to cease. But part of that is it's not about not listening. So I just want to be on record. I spend a lot of time worrying and trying to figure out the best pathway forward and trying to find middle ground because I honestly don't have that much skin in the game. I don't think that's my job. I think my job is to mitigate interests and you can ask me my personal whatever over here, what buildings do I like and what buildings that I don't, but they don't inform my decisions here. What informs my decisions is state law and listening to a broad breadth of interests. So that's my soapbox for the day. Really good. And I did have one other question to follow up, not related to the ad hoc, but that was brought up. Have we had any complaints on the buildings as like code violations on any of the new buildings? Because people are inspecting them, yes? Because that's how that works.
I'll defer to Ms. Martin to be able to speak to that.
Thank you. Megan Martin, Community Development Director. So I oversee planning, building, as well as code compliance. We have received a complaint from a resident of 402 West Grand Avenue. It's under active investigation. Can't share a lot of details with you, but our building official, as well as myself, are coordinating with that property owner to rectify the issue. It's minor in nature, and all other issues are not code related. They would otherwise be civil matters. But again, I can't provide too much information unless the city attorney wants to provide me with any level of advice or guidance, but otherwise.
So just a point of clarification, when you say the other issues are civil, like they didn't like the paint that they got, it wasn't like a health and safety concern?
Correct. So one example that I can provide. So in a studio unit, each time the individual was cooking, the smoke alarm would go off. It's a small unit, 600 square feet, little over 600 square feet. And so because they kept setting off the smoke alarm, obviously that's a nuisance to them. Nobody wants that. So they were asking the question as to whether or not the smoke alarm was code compliant or not. So our building official and I looked at the distance from the smoke alarm to the cooking facilities and confirmed that it is the appropriate distance that it's supposed to be pursuant to code. They also had some questions about their meters. However, we don't regulate under code the submeters within each of the units. That's, again, a matter between the property owner, the resident, and the HOA. There was also a question about the water heater. It's since been resolved between them and the builder. And the last remaining item is what's currently under investigation. We're hoping that that'll be resolved shortly.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Any other comments regarding the ad hoc committee? Hold on. Okay.
Yeah, a couple things. One, I do think that the three proponents, Ron Arnold, Donna De La Rosa, and Mike Wilson should be a part of this because they're the ones who signed their name off on it. I mean, that's yeah, they're the ones who wrote the language too. So they have a big role in all this. So, I mean, if we're going to have a lot more better community council working relationships too, people who take responsibility for things should be definitely part of it. And, you know, once again, you know, they're the ones who wrote the language. They're the ones who gave it to us. So it's one of those parts that I think all three of them definitely need to be a part of. And yes, as far as the council members go, there could only be two of us because three, Brown Act violation right off the bat. So I do think that, yes, Councilmember Togo, you're one of the people that probably should be a part of this for sure. Because you have background to understand things too, but also yeah, I do see that there's a lot of flexibility in how you want to address these in multiple ways too. I will say I'm probably the wrong person to be on it because I might have too many opinions. I mean, I definitely the idea of upzoning places in District 4 without anyone getting any of the residents around their communities written, you know, hey, if you get all the residents around a certain area too, you have signed petitions and stuff too, saying they're all cool with it and you take responsibility for it too, you know, hey, maybe I will, but I think I might have too many opinions and stuff too as far as a lot of these areas. So I'm probably not the best person and stuff for this myself. One thing I do think that might be should considered, and I wish she was here, is Kathy McCory Driscoll and stuff does have a kind of unique way of looking at a lot of different issues too, that I think she might be good for the second one. If she was here, she probably could say something, but she's not. So I would like the idea of if she was the second person. And of course, if we took action because she's not here, because she can't, you know, accept it, then it could be one of those, hey, you know, was it, well, we could have her, but if she doesn't accept it, then we have another person.
An alternate?
Not an alternate, a replacement, because for instance, because there could only be two. You can't.
Is that an alternate?
No. No,
between a replacement and an alternate?
It's basically that. So you have one for sure.
Anyways, sorry, I didn't mean to get. We don't have to get on the dais. Go ahead.
You have one person for sure who could do it. Then you have another person up to you that's basically asked, but if they decline, then the third person becomes the number two spot. That's idea. So it's not there's not three people involved at all.
Okay.
So that's just one area too, because I've seen kind of the way she navigates some different things, and I think for the nature of this kind of conversation, that might come in handy, especially from her previous work too. So those are kind of some different thoughts I have on as far as on the council side, it's up to you. But yes, I think all three proponents really should be a part of this. They, you know, like I said, they spent their names on it too. We're sharing responsibility as a city, right?
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So. Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem?
Thank you, Mayor. Well, I'd like to mirror Councilmember Tuggle's thoughts too. We're not up here to fight with you. We're not. I mean, we're doing the best we can with what we have and the information that we have. And most important to me is we move forward with the least litigation possible. And I think this measurement might cause a lot of litigation and cost the city's citizens a lot of money in tax dollars. And that's why I say I'm not going to approve it, but if the people want it, I'm all for it. I don't care how tall the buildings are. When we first made this ordinance, we wanted the taller buildings to line Grand Avenue. We didn't want to end up in different neighborhoods, and that could happen. I'm not saying the sky is falling. I'm not saying it's going to happen. It's a possibility. And if you look in other cities, it's happening. They're getting 8 and 10 story, 17 story buildings in other places. You know, it is happening. It's a possibility. So I don't want to be the one up here on the dais saying, let's make this happen, and then all of a sudden we have buildings everywhere. So that's my thinking behind it.
Excuse me.
But if the people want it, they're going to vote it in. And I talk to a lot of people as well, and most people like the taller buildings. They like them. And there's some that don't. Most of them that I talk to like them. I get emails, I get texts, you see on Facebook how beautiful Grover City is looking.
Grover City. Oh, my.
I got my Grover City pin on, too. But and they like it, and a lot of people. But we're always going to be split, you know. But we just need to do the right thing. But the right thing is not always what everybody agrees on. So, and I don't want to be arguing with anybody about their opinion, my opinion. To me, it's what the citizens want, and I think this initiative will lead that way. And they can vote it in. If they vote it in, we'll do what we have to do to honor it. And as far as the ad hoc committee, I believe Councilmember Jules and the mayor would be a good component, good people to represent that. And correct me if I'm wrong, but we can't, it's not too late and everything's not written in stone. This could be pulled and we could come to an agreement, and you can answer this. We could come to agreement and not have this measure go through if the components and the council and the city agree to some compromise or whatever to keep it within legal realms. And I'll let the city manager address that.
Ms. Sauer, thank you.
Okay, well, we'll let the city manager.
Go on, Mayor Pro Tem.
Yeah, and so I just want to do what's right for the majority. We can't do what's right for everybody. We have to do what's right for the majority and let the citizens decide that path. And that's my goal up here, is just try to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Thank you.
I completely agree with my council members up here. It's doing the most good for the most people. So going back to the ad hoc committee and the composition of it, the discussion, I do believe that Mr. Arnoldson, Mr. Wilson, and Ms. De La Rosa should be a part of it. I would also like to see Mr. Kovduck be a part of it as well. As far as the council members, though, Councilmember Tuggle, I do agree. You're very passionate. You have the knowledge for this. So absolutely, let's put you in there. How are we feeling? I did like this idea of Councilmember McCory Driscoll. However, since she's not here, I don't want to put that, I don't want to make the decision for her. So I like this idea of, and I'm just curious what you two think as well regarding her being the second voice. And if she's not able to make it or does not want to make it, then I can step in.
I would take your lead.
Okay. All right. Okay, that was a great idea, Councilmember Weirich. I do like that a lot, because she does have a lot of knowledge and passion for it as well. As far as, ad hoc committee, the composition. So I think we've come to consensus on that. Were there further comments, Councilmember Tuggle?
You were going to answer something, and then I had something to add, yes.
Sure, I was just going to answer the question as to whether or not the measure can be pulled from the ballot, and it may be up until August 7th.
Yes.
So that would be the elections office deadline to pull the ballot measure.
Thank you.
And I might have stated something that's incorrect, which is what, but it is written in stone, but it doesn't have to go forward. I mean, everything that's in there has to go in there like it is on the ballot. We can't change any of that, but we can pull it if we come to a compromise. And I think that's what this ad hoc committee is about, in my mind. Is that we can come to a compromise and change things, and we create ordinances, the 30-foot building, 33 and 40-foot buildings, what have you. We change those and promise the components that we'll do that through an ordinance change and not a ballot initiative. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think that's what the ad hoc committee is all about.
I think that'll be part of the discussion. There's a broad discussion that we will be having with the proponents at all. So.
And just to clarify, the proponents can pull the ballot measure, not the city council.
Right? Thank you for that clarification. Yes, that's great.
And then going back, we didn't discuss the component of staff. And for me, I need the legal counsel. I don't know the law well enough to do it. And so I'm also hoping HCD provides some of that. But I also think it's imperative that we have our city attorney in those meetings.
100%. And
other than that, staff is however it shakes out to my mind.
And actually, one thing too is following up. It's mentioned in the staff report, but that council reported last time. Is tomorrow's meeting is the request that HCD put down all this stuff in writing, including like from what they're seeing from the initiative, like what a pathway is, or is.
We will certainly make that request to HCD staff tomorrow. It's a fairly brief meeting for them to get more information about where our process is. But during the meeting, we will make the request to them that our council has requested a letter in writing for this.
Okay, thank you. And
but what was the impetus for the meeting? Is my understanding correct?
Yes, your understanding is correct.
Well, maybe it could be brought up to them and say, hey, who should we actually send this to then? So if it's up the food chain, then it's up the food chain. And one thing I think's also important to note, just for people to kind of understand the context that the city council is always in on this, is, you know, places with way more money than us, like Huntington Beach, they love to get in lawsuits with the state. And they spend millions of dollars that make our city budget look really, really, really small and insignificant, and they lose. And that's one thing that, as far as that choice of spending millions of dollars to fight the state in litigation, and then saying, okay, we're going to cut all these services that everyone wants, and then also be able to cut all the stuff for our streets and everything else too. That's not a choice I'm quite interested in, though. So So there is a bit of a limit to as far as what I'm interested in when it comes to how the state gets engaged, because I've seen from other cities, not successful, not successful, not successful, and still in litigation, and their dollar amounts just keep on making us look really, really poor compared to them. And that's just from litigation. So that's one area that when you kind of hear me talk about this stuff too, yeah, that's it's a lot bigger climb than most people will think. And statements are one thing, that kind of challenge is a whole nother story.
Wonderful comments. Anything further? No? Before I make the motion? Okay. All right. Sounds good. Well, I mean, I could also repeat these comments, but I just think like my council members just did a wonderful job setting this up, presenting it, discussing it and everything. So great job to the team here. So I will move the creation of the Ad Hoc Council Committee on Building Heights and Commercial Space Citizen Initiative and Next Steps with the Citizens Initiative with the composition of the proponents, Mr. Arnoldson, Mr. Wilson, Ms. De La Rosa, Councilmember Tuggle, Councilmember Kathy McCrory Driscoll, with me as the backup in case she is not able to do it or is not interested in doing it, and I said Mr. Kovduk as well, I believe Mr. Kovduk as well.
Sorry, if I could just make a point of clarification, the ad hoc committee is just the council members, and then who you meet with, who that ad hoc committee meets with, will be the proponents.
Oh, so okay. It's just, okay. Okay, well, okay. We're just letting you know who we want to be invited to the party. So
you can cue the invitations.
Thank you. Yes, exactly. Okay, so I will move that. May I have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. May I have a roll call, please?
Mayor D.
Yes.
Councilmember Weirich.
Yes.
Councilmember Tuggle.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert.
Yes, ma'am.
Let the record show, Councilmember McCrory Driscoll is absent.
All right, thank you. That moves forward. We do not have any public hearings. We do not have any other regular business, so we will move on to council committee reports. Councilmember Tuggle. Councilmember Tuggle. Oh, okay. Sorry, I was just double checking.
Let's see. First, I was able to attend the Chamber's State of the Cities. We got updates from Pismo, Arroyo Grande, and our mayor was able to update. In general, things are looking positive on the Central Coast, and it was a positive overall experience. And then also I was able to attend Cal Cities. They had our Channel Cities dinner this last Friday night, and we got to hear from President Pro Tem Limon, and also hear from an economist from Santa Barbara that couched things in more balanced terms, which I always appreciate. And we were able to share about our parks and our growth and the challenges that come with it, and communicate with others to get ideas and support on how do you navigate the overbearing state laws that are making representing our local governments harder and harder every day. But it was all really positive. So, and that's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Weirich.
Yeah, so for my council committee assignments, I got two of them. One of them is the Five States Fire Authority Board of Directors, aka FCFA. And we had a special meeting on Monday, June 15th, last Monday. And it concluded my final meeting as board chair, which is actually really short because we only have a few meetings a year. And the special meeting's focus was to conduct the state law mandated public hearing related to weed abatement protests. We only actually had one person speak to the board, noting that their property that was listed had been abated since they got their notice. So we moved forward with the rest of the abatement order. And basically the thing to know is that if any of the properties are abated before the contractor reaches the property, then there's no financial charges made by the abatement contractor. So people still technically had time to do it even after that action. Another update we did get is from the federal community project funding that our Congress member Sue Carbold submitted related to the Five Cities Fire Authority's purchase of an aerial ladder truck. It went through an initial congressional committee hearing earlier this month. Of course, you know, it got reduced the amount to $850,000 instead of the original amount requested, but still, it did move forward, which is always a good sign. And also, we did complete for our staff the first two-week engineer academy, so some of them are now at that level too. And the only other thing just to note, because it's kind of a topic that isn't as relevant to Grover Beach but comes up quite often too, is ways as far as fire insurance, you know, insurance rates, those kind of dynamics come up. So so to address wildfire hazards, there's, you know, been some activity by local HOAs, homeowners associations, in the part of the authorities area, which is the rural part of Rio Grande. And one of them was working to obtain their Firewire's community designation, which insurance companies do look at that as far as rate reduction potentially, because it's, you know, not just one piece at a time, it's all collective, because obviously if someone's in an area where it's a lot more dangerous, you know, they could have their house done, but then if all their neighbors don't, it kind of defeats the purpose. So that was good hearing that there's other HOAs within that part next to them that are looking to do it too. So obviously if everyone's doing their part, it's best for all of us. So that's the first one. And then last Thursday, June 18th, I attended the Community Action Partnership of St. Louis Obispo County, aka CAPSLOAD, our board of directors regular meeting. Outside the routine business, we did approve submitting an application to SunCal Health, which is our, you know, Medi-Cal provider for San Luis Obispo County, when it came to the Medi-Cal Outreach and Navigation Program services to assist in the continuous coverage for those members and maintaining access to essential health services. I've kind of mentioned at multiple meetings now already that this year, but then also a lot of them are scheduled next year on the federal side to change. It's probably going to result in some disruption of care. People are probably going to get disenrolled. It's a lot more administratively burdened. And these kind of services help people navigate through those dynamics so they're able to keep their services in continuous. So that's one aspect. And the other thing that we actually heard was pretty interesting. It was from our teen wellness program on the work they've been doing with their youth ambassadors on addressing basically a lot of improved youth mental health. In this room, we don't talk about you too much, but you know, that's one area that's always been important too. So it's good to see how a lot of the peers, because you know, when I was a teenager, yeah, I'd probably rather listen to someone my age versus someone older that I'm like, you're out of touch with everything. So it's always great to see how all these youth managers are engaged, really helping everyone else too, because you know, as they get older too, they will become adults, and we want them to be the best they can, not just that time, but when they're reaching our different ages too. So, especially with proven techniques. So those are my two council committee reports.
That's wonderful, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mayor. I just had one meeting with the Air Pollution Control District on June 17th, and the board handled several budget administration items, which included approval of the fiscal year 2026-2027, the final budget, and reestablishing of restricted grant funds. We also talked about the roof replacement, a very expensive project for the main facilities there. Had updates on the board rules, hearing board appointments, and the Air Pollution Control Officer's compensation after his first year. We did staff reported on ongoing APCD priorities, including air quality control monitoring, prescribed burning coordination, grant programs, oceanic dune dust mitigation, facility improvements, and implementations of the new payroll system, which is going okay. You know, it's new software, so it's always a challenge. Overall, the district is financially stable, and the revenues are within budget, and expenditures all look good. That's it.
All right, thank you. And for me, Councilmember Wyrick already said my assignment, the Five Cities Fire Authority as well, and congratulations and thank you for being chair for that many meetings. So, okay, so now on to council communications. A couple of things before I move on to the other council members. Chief, may I please have you come up and speak on the flock cameras? We had a speaker mention the flock cameras, and can you speak to the use of them and anything you would like to share with us, please?
Sure. Thank you, Mayor, Council, and thank you to the community member that expressed concern. We do have 17 what we consider flock LPR license plate recognition cameras in town. They are essentially a big circle, all the major ingress, egress points around the city. They capture a picture of the car and a picture of the license plate, and that is it. No facial recognition, no other tracking. We use them almost every single day. When the clerk got shot at 7-Eleven in the face, LPR located that vehicle and got him arrested within the hour. When there was a stabbing at Grand and 9th, LPR, community cameras. When a domestic violence suspect came into town on a motorcycle, LPR. So just those examples of how we're using them. There are safeguards in place. We have policy. Every search is audited and can be searched, and our data is only kept for 30 days. 30 days total, and then it's purged. With that, that's kind of an explanation. Like I said, we do have two types of cameras in town, LPR, and then our community cameras, which you do see the community cameras up and down Grand Avenue. That's just basic CCTV along with parks and other public facilities.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, so I have received a couple of emails, and I believe Councilmember Wyrick has received some emails too. I would like to get concurrence with the council to have staff bring back an agenda item regarding park hours, specifically Ramona Garden Park. It's a wonderful park. We love it. We've already heard comments on it. I hear comments on it every single day, many emails, many text messages, many phone calls. People love it, but the folks who are out there at 11 p.m. and 12 and midnight, et cetera, that's a little much. So, and I know that's outside of our noise ordinance, but maybe even the people who are there at about 10 o'clock. So can I was hoping to get concurrence on an agenda item.
Yeah, and just based off of the communications and conversations I had with some of the residents, I mean, maybe it's easier to just make it a little bit more broader to, like, I don't know, like neighborhood mitigating factors, which that includes it too. But if there's other things that they want to bring up, then we could have that discussion without it being, you know, when I've been so narrow that it's like, oh, we actually can't talk about it. So if it's something a little bit broader, then that's easier.
Can you give me an example? Like, what are you saying when you talk about the neighboring?
Oh, so like the main thing I heard in stuff too was one of the noise aspects.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's not operating hours itself too. It intersects with it to a certain degree, but as far as like some of these other areas that residents might bring up, and they might bring up other ones too. So it gives at least us a space in one meeting to say, okay, we're looking at all these different things versus sorry, that's out of our agenda items like scope or state law. We can't talk about that. It leaves it more broad for those kind of things. And then, you know, of course, we could always refer things to the Parks Commission, stuff to get more detail, or we could follow up at that meeting. But like I said, it just makes it a little bit easier to address some of those.
Well, I would like to bring it to us because I know that this is a pressing issue. It's summer, so, and I, you know, it's a process. So I would like to bring this at our next meeting.
Yeah, that's fine. On July 27th. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that works.
I'm going to push back a little bit. It's not that I don't want to have the conversation, but I think noise and hours are separate. So if they're two agenda items, so be it. But I would like us to have a much more broader conversation about park hours. I was surprised to find out they're from 5 a.m. till 11 p.m. And I found that out because my son on his 16th birthday said, "Mom, we're going to go down to the park." And I said, "No, you're not. It's 9 o'clock. It's dark. It's closed." He said, "No, it's not." And then I checked and I said, "You're right. It's technically open till 11. Oh my goodness. I go to bed at 8. So it's a very skewed perspective on life. I recognize that. But he did go to the park near 10 o'clock and there was still quite a few families there. So, groups. I don't know. I wasn't there. So I do think it would behoove us to come up with really clear policies on hours, and that would look different at a lighted pickleball court or tennis court versus a play structure that only has periphery lights because the pathways are lit, but I don't think any kid needs to be on there in the dark necessarily.
I know. So you're going a little bit too far. We're going to stop right really quick. So I didn't mean to cut you off,
yeah.
But I we're hearing what you're saying.
Yeah. So I would love to have a conversation about parks and times, and noise seems a little bit more specific to each nuanced situation. So we just started to address pickleball. Maybe we do need to address noise, but I don't think commingling it makes it a clean conversation.
So can I get clarification that basically what you're saying, Councilmember Tuggles, is like you want to look at operating hours for kind of all parks and stuff too, not just this Ramona Garden Park. Okay, I'm fine with that. And then, yeah, a separate one that's just more about the neighborhood mitigating stuff related to Ramona Garden Park. That's fine. I mean, yeah, if it's two items, it's two items. But that's...
Yeah, I mean, we want the park to be a good neighbor.
Yes.
But those are just two different facets.
Okay, yeah, so... Absolutely. Okay.
I was just going to ask legal counsel, can those two conversations be in one agenda item?
noise. They can be. Okay. Yeah, there's, yeah, as long as it's agendized that way, which
yeah,
I think
exactly.
is what Councilmember Yeah,
exactly. Because they are two different items, and they're both very important.
They are, and just to add to that, we are going to have an item on July 27th regarding the pickleball courts and the recommendation from PRBC to make some modest changes in the operating hours.
PRBC means for everyone?
Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commission, PRBC, to be able to explain and explore some different options around operating hours and signage. So I think an item related to the Ramona Playground mitigations that also touches on broader conversation on hours could be put together within that same item.
Okay. Do we feel good about that? Can I get yeses?
You said you wanted it on the next meeting, but we're going to do it on the 27th, right?
That is the next meeting.
Oh, that's right. We're off for 5 feet. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So it sounds like we have yes, 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 yes. Okay. July 27th. Do we have clear direction for what we would like? Thank you very much. Okay. Perfect. Flock and then park hours. Okay, so council communications. I will call on council member Tuggle.
First, I have a question for staff. One of our community members mentioned street sweeping and cars being parked with street sweepers. I don't have firsthand information, so I'd like to hear more about that.
Given limited resources, we don't have the ability to enforce parking restrictions for street sweeping. So we have a set schedule in different streets around the city, and we ask individuals to be mindful of the schedule, but we don't have the ability to enforce parking restrictions like bigger cities do.
Is it posted?
On our website, yes.
But not on the street. It doesn't say street sweeper coming tomorrow.
No.
Okay, I'm gonna think on that. All right, then, I have a few other questions, and then I also realized my chamber, my Cal Cities should have been under committee, council communications, I apologize. We touched on parks, that was one of my questions. Also, I was hoping to get location of our credit card policy and how that works, as well as a breakdown of major categories of use of credit cards. So if I could get that at your earliest convenience, that would be great. Thanks. And then I did follow up on the property at 3 Owens Court with an outside consultant. And because there is absolutely no high or moderate severity fire severity zones, the 1,000-foot clearance doesn't apply to our properties. That would require a zoning ordinance of the city that would have to be brought forward. And I did talk to another community member who lives butting up who doesn't want it pushed back. So it sounds like a conversation for that community or neighborhood to have and then decide how they want to move forward if they do to ask for something to be changed. And that is all I have. And then Cal Cities, which was great, which is my committee report that I put in my council communications that I put in my committee report. So.
All right, thank you. Council Member Weirich.
Yep, a few things too. One thing I did want to note for the South County Chamber of Commerce luncheon on the State of the Cities is that the other two cities for Rio Grande, Mayor Karen Rosum, and for Pismo Beach, Mayor Ed Waggy, for them it's basically there was last one because both of them had publicly announced they won't be running for another term, and they have to do that because they don't have term limits like our city. So that was nice to hear their last ones on that. And for the League of California Cities Channel Counties Division, we also did have our statewide president, Gabe Quinto, present with us too. And so he engaged in that area too, but also there was a lot of other conversations to relate to this week about some of the state ballot measures that may or may not be negotiated off and stuff for November, but still it looks like there's probably gonna be over a dozen on that side too. So that was noted. Actually our own California State Senator, Monique Lamont, who represents us, she's the leader of the Senate, it's President Pro Tempore, but also it was noted that earlier that week, because the governor and lieutenant governor were out of state, she was also acting governor. Unfortunately, the governor came back the night before, so we couldn't have the governor at our meeting, but it is what it is. And a couple of little things is this last Friday on June 19th, I did participate in a ride along with some of our city government's public works department staff. It's something I requested in early May 2026, since when I was at the California Joint Powers Insurance Authority's JPIA elected official summit training, a different local elected did suggest me to do something like that because it helps observe the actual work they do and not just assume the work that We think they do. And so it was actually really interesting to kind of have that formal site tours of the different, you know, locations, because I've toured the city facilities, I've toured the city parks, I've done ride-alongs with police department, fire, code compliance, but hadn't done this one. And for this one, to see the day-to-day rounds they make and the various facilities, which some of them I just drive by and never realized and stuff that those were our cities because it's not marked that way, and the types of technologies they utilize, but also a lot of the common situations they do address and respond to, such as, you know, our aging low water lines that break, which we always hear about as council members. But also, what was really interesting is during one part of this, person I was with was driving down the street and they noticed leakage. And then basically that ended up being because of that one site of seeing that, it resulted in street being shut down to all hands on deck, all staff dealing with it too. So it was actually kind of interesting to notice that these rounds aren't just made, you know, just to look around things too, but they do result in actually getting work done too that is important. So it was, I appreciate, Billy was the person who I was with too and did a great job, and all the other staff that interacted were on top of it. So it's always good to see things not just out of the censor and staff reports, but in person too. And another little thing is on Sunday, June 14th, I attend this usually pretty regularly, is the local Elks Lodge in South Oceano /Five Cities Lodge 2504's annual Flag Day ceremony. And yes, there is a Flag Day ceremony. It's one of the lesser known kind of patriotic holidays. But since 1908, it's been done annually by all the Elks Lodges and across the nation too. And so for ours in particular, they go through a lot of the different flags because people, you know, when they see this white and green flag, they're like, what's that? I'm like, that was one of our flags. I mean, there's a lot of things that have changed over time. And they do go as far as the different milestones that have led to some of those changes, but just some different milestones in how people view the flag too. So it's always good to, and I appreciate actually the attendees who make it, because it's, like I said, it's one of the lesser known holidays that's not always understood as far as how it empowers the principles, ideals we have. And then, let's see. Yeah, I'll do this last one. The grand opening for the Romano Garden Park, and, you know, the ribbon cutting ceremony. It was actually good to see a lot of people that I just don't see until on a regular basis. Out and about. I ran into a few people I grew up with too, which I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. like, you know, how's it going? They're like, yeah, I live like a mile away too. I mean, that's the catch. You know, in our adult life, we pass each other all the time, but in that environment, we're able to see each other too. And, you know, really, I mean, yeah, outside of the issues we'll deal with on the neighborhood side, it's like, you know, it's always nice to see a lot of like families just enjoy themselves too. And yeah, I mean, a lot of times we forget, you know, families and stuff and the role that they have are very uniquely different from those and stuff too, where, you know, kids are old, gone, or just don't have them too. So it's a part of our community I wish we had a lot more engagement with, but their families are busy, et cetera. And actually it was kind of cool to see some people during the community ribbon cutting side that, I'll just say it, they were against the project basically, but they were there to celebrate and they wanted to be in the picture, you know, for it too. There was more than a handful. I was like, oh, this is a little surprising. So that's always good. That's always a good sign of work done stuff and how staff had made this happen too. So I appreciate all the staff's work. Appreciate a lot of the past council's work too. By the time I got on the council, it was all pretty much done. And it was just, you know, certain few dotted lines too. So Mayor Pro Tem Robert, who's a lot more involved in that too, thank you for your work. And yeah, I hope the community continues to get to enjoy it.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem?
Just a couple things. I don't think I've ever said this before, but a lot of people know the Exploration Discovery Center on Ramona and 9th Avenue accepts electronic waste, and it's very helpful for the program because we generate, well, now it's going over $1,500 a month in revenue from electronic waste that people drop off there. So if you know people that want to get rid of their TV or stereo, we don't take appliances or vacuum cleaners, but you know, anything electronic, drop off there, and it helps with the program. I think that there was something else. I can't recall. I thought I wrote it down here. Electronic Discovery Center. Oh, pancake breakfast. Yeah. We will be having pancake breakfast on the 5th of July. So if you're still up and able to get there after the 4th of July, you're welcome to come. We'll be there. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. All right. And I will also be brief and just mention the ribbon cutting for Mona Garden Park was just absolutely wonderful. And I'm hearing, like I said, just hearing so many comments. And that is one that I said this during the mayor's luncheon that the chamber had.
It's one that I hold really near and dear to my heart, based off me, you know, I grew up here, lifelong resident. You guys are gonna get sick of hearing me say this, but I used to set up the River Beach Library book sale and then play in the park when I was very little. I used to volunteer with my family at the Dune Run Run in Stone Soup when I was 10 years old. I got married in that park. I was a flower girl also in the early 2000s. I got married in the park. I was on the Parks Recreation and Beautification Commission, PRBC, when we started making this plan for it. And then I was able to cut the ribbon as your mayor. And I'm just so proud of this project. I'm proud of our city. I'm proud of the staff. I'm proud of Erin Wiggin and all of her work that she has done in it. She deserves all the accolades, all of the praise for her work in this. And I'm just so excited for this park. It looks absolutely beautiful. And I do hope that we figure out the whole noise situation, because I understand that. I'll just leave it at that. I'm just really excited for all the things that are going to happen with this park, including summer concerts, which I'm sure somebody's going to mention here soon. So, alrighty. You had your thing. Okay, sounds good. All right. We will now move on to city manager's reports and comments.
And I'll keep my report very brief, given my voice is going out.
Yeah, it's been going like this all the time.
It's been pretty low. So just... first of all, we had a water supply forum last Tuesday, the second of two forums that we've had. Last week's forum was focused on different supply options, alternatives. The information's on our website, along with the presentation from the first forum and recording from the first forum and second forum. Next step will be to present a preliminary draft of the findings of the report to your council on August 24th. Mm-hmm. So that's the next step of this significant process that ties into one of your top priorities for this year. You all covered the Ramona Garden Park reopening so well. It was a beautiful community event, and we're delighted to reopen this new park for the public once again. And lastly, our next meeting is Monday, July 27th, 5 weeks from today. And so in the meantime, Happy New Year, since July 1st is the beginning of our new fiscal year here in city government. We have two more weeks to go before we close this fiscal year and begin a new year with a lot of opportunities and a lot of continued progress in our city. Thank you.
All right, thank you. City attorney reports and comments, and why don't you lead us into closed session, Ms. Thompson? Thank
sure.
you.
Sure. I don't have any comments, but the city council will meet in closed session to discuss three items. The first, conference with legal counsel existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9D1, Grover H2O et al. Versus City of Grover Beach et al., trial case number 24CV-0264. The second item is conference with legal counsel anticipated litigation, initiation of litigation pursuant to paragraph 4 of subdivision D of section 54956.9 of the government code, deciding whether to initiate litigation, one case. And the third item is conference with legal counsel anticipated litigation, significant exposure to litigation pursuant to paragraph 2 or 3 of subdivision D of section 54956.9 of the government code, one case.
All right, thank you. I will now open for public comment on this item. I do not have any speaker slips. Does anybody wish to come up and speak on the closed session? Seeing nobody move forward, is there anybody on the line? Well, then I will close public comment and we will move into closed session at 7:27.